Good morning. You're very welcome into the second hour of the 9 till noon show. If you've just tuned in, we had a very busy hour. We were discussing the situation at Letterkenny University Hospital and then moved on to traffic in and around that town too. Both issues on the face of it, you might say, well, there are Letterkenny issues, but clearly not. The hospital is all of our hospitals right across the county. And for many of us, whether we want to go into Letterkenny in a shop, which is great, or actually want to go somewhere else in the county, often the changes to traffic layout or frequency of traffic in the town can affect all of us. A caller says, forget the shuttle bus nonsense from Bonagie. The bridge needs to be fast-tracked, regardless of the 10T road that will take years to complete. It is a priority. Bike lanes, bridges and bottlenecks sum up Letterkenny's traffic problems. How much has been spent on rarely used cycle lanes when the money could have gone towards building the Bonagie Bridge? Talking like she's an elected member inside when she's outside, she needs to wake up to what really has gone on for years within. Question, why is Letterkenny a mess? You don't have to look very far. Some haven't gone away, by the way. Active travel is needed. Too long with short-term gains with long-term pains. Thank you for your views there. They are appreciated. Greg, I've lost Ulster TV and the BBC on Friday. I'm based in Convoy. Has this happened to anyone else? Well, tell us what platform you're watching on. Do you have an aerial that points to the north? Is it Freeview? Were you accessing a Freeview box or is it Sky? Let us know what's platform and we'll see if we can find out more information for you. Why are some schools taking Thursday and Friday this week off as well as next Tuesday? Why can they not take the Friday of the rally off, which would make more sense? I don't know. Maybe they are. Would you know yet? If they're not, there is discretionary days I think schools can take. Some go back earlier or break up late. So I presume the school you're talking of, they've just decided that that's the days they're taking those days. Good morning, Greg. Is anyone surprised RTE hired actors? I mean, why use staff when you can waste even more money hiring actors? They are an absolute embarrassment. It is kind of couldn't make it up territory. It's not rocket science. Ireland will miss its CO2 targets because gas is a fossil fuel and more backup is needed to keep the grid stable. The Irish state has chosen gas. Are Gardaí going to give either a six-month or annual update on how much crime has risen since the migrants came into the country? They're updated by the independently, by the way, by the CSO, and they're there for all to see. It doesn't break down the demographic, but, I mean, look at your newspapers, look on your websites, you'll see that the majority of those coming out of courts are not migrants, and I don't mean that in any way bad. I'm not saying there's not antisocial behaviour issues or there isn't issues or issues may arrive, but, you know, anecdotally you can see. I think sometimes people flick through a paper and they go past, you know, nine Irish people and come across a migrant that's committed a crime. It's like, look at this. This is an absolute disgrace. You know, I tend to sort of try and think more independently and freely. That's being said, who's to say where the country might go into the future? But it's not just annually or six monthly. The crime figures are released every 3 months. Much as I'm empathetic to the innocent people of Gaza in their suffering, I don't agree with whoever is defacing Letterkenny with unsightly graffiti at present about it. I'm not familiar with this at all. What's happening? Are people putting sort of pro-Palestine graffiti up? I don't really think that serves any function. I think there's other ways that you can highlight the issue. I think, you know, even if the message is a valid one, even if the message is a valid one, and in that case, I think most people might, to sort of make graffiti looks rough and to make an area look rough. I don't know. There's other ways of doing it, I think. The numbers debate in favour of Sligo Hospital is baffling. Does anyone know if the powers that be considered South Donegal as being in the Sligo catchment and East Donegal to be in Alt na Gaelvhain? Well, East Donegal certainly not Alt na Gaelvhain, but I suspect South Donegal would have been included. And I just wonder, were day cases, you know, people going down to the ENT or for dermatological care or other reasons we have to go to Sligo? I just wonder, were those numbers included as well? Because on the face of it, we've twice the population. Why don't all the Donegal reps come together and fight for Letterkenny University Hospital? I was on dialysis for a while and had to go to Derry during COVID 3 days a week. We were stopped every trip because we were beyond the 5K radius. Why don't the Donegal reps come together and fight for Letterkenny University Hospital? I would say they're all on the same page. I don't know if there's a sort of behind the scenes approach. I think... Did Councillor Jerry McMonagle suggest that that was the case? They were all in attendance at that meeting either in the room or remotely. So they have a very good understanding of what the plans are. Did any press releases come out saying this is an absolute disgrace, what I've learned, actions needed now? I didn't see any. Did they agree to pursue it with the health minister behind the scenes? I don't know. I really don't know. All I know is that I can't sort of be, you know, complicit in saying, yeah, ambulatory centre, if, you know, it's years and years and years down the line where a surgical hope could be within a year. So, you know, I mean, I have to say, right, is that a smokescreen? Is it not? Invite guests on and they let us know. Pat the Cope said it's only box-ticking exercise when the health minister was coming to Donegal. He refused to represent us at that meeting. We need Michael Lowry to come to Donegal. He has them on the ropes. I'll never, ever understand. I'll never understand why elected reps, and I will say Kieran Brogan and Councillor Jerry McMonagall were there. They're part of the Regional Health Forum. But there was an opportunity, I would have thought, I'm not making any friends here, am I? But there was an opportunity to challenge the health minister in Letterkenny in the shadow of the hospital and sort of, you know, while the media was there in a very respectful way and say, you know, are you sure people haven't been moved out of the hospital because you're coming and then they're going to be moved back in the afternoon? Where's the head of the HSC in this area? Why isn't he here? What's the significance of that? What's the story with the surgical hub? You know, if they send it back to Sligo, even though you say the decision has been made, what are you going to do about that? Stand with the cancer campaigners that were there, lonely five women battering away themselves, all directly affected by cancer, but still standing out, championing the cause on their own, really, except for the media standing with them. Remind the councillors that there's no shortage of money or any hesitation for providing abortion services in Letterkenny University Hospital. It's serious lack of funding for cancer patients and other life-saving treatments and care. I will continue to sort of, obviously, if people have an opinion, that is fine. But to continuously compare absolutely everything to abortion, which the people of the country voted on, whether we like it or not, is, you know, it's. I'm not sure it's helping the cause of every other issue because it keeps being brought back to the issue that you find important. But then again, you know, 10,000 abortions in a year, that's not perhaps what a lot of people voted for. On Monday, it took an hour to get from the Silver Tassie into Letterkenny. I nearly missed my driving test, and that was with taking precautions to account for traffic. We have a cycle lane in Lifford that's never used. We had a half marathon recently, and access was blocked. People had to go to Strabane via Derry. We chatted to a lady too who travels along the Quigley's Point Road, was talking about the cyclists out on the road and a €5 million cycle and walking lane there. It's not just Letterkenny, it's Lifford, it's North Donegal. Let the councillors who want to put in more cycle lanes that are not being used and will cause more congestion go to their work and do their shopping on bikes and show the rest of us how it works. This will cripple Letterkenny as more people who have an alternative will do their business elsewhere rather than sit in the traffic. I have hundreds on this. This will only make the traffic congestion worse. The Polestar traffic lights are not helping. A filter traffic light on the four lanes from Remelton might keep a flow going. The bridge over the Swilly is where the money should go, but sure, why would DCC or all local councillors listening to the businesses and the local people of our town? We have to be clear too, though, what people have control over. So DCC have responsibility over certain roads. Donegal County councillors have a certain amount of influence. The TII are responsible for the transport for the 10T project. That's a national project. A councillor, they could chain themselves to the bridge. It wouldn't make no difference, to be honest with you. And, you know, I mean, we do have road design in Donegal as well, which might have an impact on designs, but fundamentally it's a national Transport Infrastructure Ireland project. We are going to return to the matter of health and... Yesterday, the issue of the surgical hub for Letterkenny was raised. I think they've doubled down the HSC in that it's going to Sligo. And we are to settle for the prospect potentially of an ambulatory centre. Betty Holmes is a cancer campaigner and has been talking about matters at Letterkenny University Hospital for a long time. What is your reaction to the commentary yesterday and... The local manager, Sean Murphy, hailing the ambulatory centre as bigger and better than a surgical hub and tailor-made for Donegal, bells and whistles and all that, Betty.
Yeah, Greg. Yes, Mr. Murphy had told us at our recent meeting about the ambulatory care centre. And yes, it sounds excellent. But my question is the timeline, because according to the documents that I received from the HSE Regional Executive Officer, Tony Canavan, Letterkenny Hospital are only starting to develop a business case for this development, which would include all, which is excellent. Really, really important stuff would be in that centre, Greg, and that shouldn't get lost. But the reality is this lip service, is this something that's going to be sort of 7-10 years down the line? I mean, if it's only at the planning stage, you know, there's a major process to go through before it's actually okayed.
Well, there's
funded.
No, just so the listeners know, there are no plans drown up yet. I believe there might be a sketch knocking about, but there's no plans drawn up yet.
There is a sketch, because when we were at the meeting, Mr. Murphy actually showed us the sketch.
Okay.
But you know me, I need to see where it's written down that this has actually happened. It's just a sketch. There is no plans. Letterkenny Hospital are just in the process of starting to develop a business case for this development.
Conversely, a surgical hub, the plans are there. We know what's required. It costs $60 million. With the will, a good tailwind, as they say, work could start on that in months. We're going to see progress potentially in Sligo Surgical Hub, whilst we might be in the first of three stages before you can even get funding approval for the ambulatory centre. That's the reality, and that's just further funding and investment into services at Sligo University Hospital.
Absolutely. But Greg, the whole talk about the surgical hub. The surgical hub was first mentioned. I looked back in November last year. A group of hospital consultants at Letterkenny Hospital actually put together their five actions that needed. And one of those was a surgical hub for Donegal. Mm. Establish a surgical hub, reducing the need for patients to travel outside Donegal for essential care. Then, before we had our meeting with the minister, I happened to see the announcement that was made in Sligo by the regional executive officer announcing the surgical hub, talking about the plans. And what he actually said at that time was, regarding, because I have been in constant email with him, that he based that it was deemed the best access for patients in the Northwest. So does that mean again that the patients from Donegal, from Mallon and everywhere else are going to have to head to Sligo? Why is Letterkenny always the poor relation?
Stay there a second. I just want people to know what and I will come back to that map in a second. But what is an ambulatory centre? Just so people know, in an ideal world, it would have 2-day surgery theatres, 2 minor operation procedure rooms, like a surgical hub. But it would also have urology and haematology and oncology day services. So that obviously, on the face of it, sounds fab. But the issue is how far are we away from that materialising? Stay there. I'll come back to you, Betty. Emma Gova, known online as the Wee Donegal Mammy and also a health campaigner. Your reaction to, I suppose it's a chain of events, a chain of communication over the last couple of weeks, and where we're at now, Emma, with what we learnt yesterday.
Well, you know, I think it's a bit of a smoke and mirrors, to be honest with you, Greg. I'm not going to pull any punches saying that. You know, that the Minister for Health stood in Letterkenny a couple of weeks ago with Betty there and with Rosina Toner and some of the local elected representatives. And she said no decision had been made on whether the surgical hub was going to Sligo. So either she didn't know that the decision had been made and they're not keeping her in the loop, or she was just pandering to the crowd, one of the two. Now, I'm not trying to be cynical, but it doesn't look good either way, to be quite frank with you. But the reality is that the ambulatory care centre sounds fantastic. It really does. But as Betty has said, and as you have said this morning, there isn't even plans drawn up for this yet. This will have to go through a process. And then the funding will have to be sought and drawn down, because if you've no plans and you've no business plan ready, then you've no funding.
Another element to that is that this could take years. Another element is that it's very clear what the HC management see, I think at this point, see as the balancing of the health service across the country. I mean, if they can't fund 60 million for a hub in Letterkenny now, who's to say that once these plans are drawn up, that they will actually go, all right, we'll fund that? You know, at what stage, where will Letterkenny University Hospital be at that stage? Will they say there isn't the critical mass? Will they say we can't attract the consultants to the area? You know, even if plans are progressed, there is actually no commitment to funding this project.
Absolutely. And here is the concern. Sorry to cut across you there, Greg, but Sligo has a population. They've said they've built this on, they've made this decision based on population. Sligo has a population of 70,198. Donegal has a population of 167,4 in the last census. So are they including, I'm assuming that they're including patients from Roscommon and Mayo, and are they including some of the patients that are coming from Donegal to be treated in Sligo, because we don't have a sitting ENT consultant, we don't have a sitting neurologist, we don't have a sitting dermatologist, we don't have a sitting neurologist, we don't have a sitting endocrinologist, we have visiting consultants, but we don't have any of those. So are they including our patients that have to go there because we aren't being provided with the care in Donegal to start with? And the worry about that is once the surgical hub then comes into place in Sligo, because it's not going to take years, as we know, as you said, a few months, this is going to be up and running. The thing is, once our patients start getting filtered off then to Sligo for surgical procedures, is that going to bring the tier of our hospital? And then before you know it, they're going to start filtering away all their services. And then before you know it, they could turn around and say, well, sure, all the patients are going to Sligo for their surgeries and things like that, the surgical. So why would we put the ambulatory care centre in there?
I just want to remind listeners who weren't listening into the first hour, some of the developments that are proposed for Sligo University Hospital, and I don't begrudge them in any way, shape or form, but a new ward block, which is... the construction of a new ward block comprising two 21-bed wards, all featuring single en-suite rooms. This development includes additional shell and core space intended for future expansion of cardiology CT services. The construction contract exceeds 30 million and it'll be completed in 27. A second CT scanner operational since May 2025, May 5th. Central Sterile Services Department, an upgrade to it. Enabling works on the car park, including the development of new car park. Some of that's already been completed. So, but that's what's been going into Letterkenny. Into Sligo. In Letterkenny, fire safety upgrade programme of works consisting of fire alarm upgrades and new emergency lighting system. Fantastic. But I don't think that's going to speed up any flow through. An extension to the laboratory, microbiology, virology and immunology. This to provide capacity for additional COVID-19 testing, believe it or not. The construction of accommodation for a physio and OT department to reinstate accommodation dispersed due to on-site flooding. So I'll go back to you, Betty, in relation to that. If you're looking at the programme of works there for Sligo University Hospital, you're looking at the approval of a hub there as well. And as Emma's been pointing out there, you know, what impact might that have on Letterkenny University Hospital? And then you see what we have is, you know, a notion at this point for an ambulatory centre. I mean, looking at the raw facts, there is clearly an interest to invest in Sligo University Hospital. How do we get a consultant or higher grade staff to come to Letterkenny University Hospital when all of it is there in the northwest, 2 hours from Dublin? What does that mean? Yeah. What's that intent for Letterkenny?
Greg, it's 17 years since I said key services were going to be gradually removed from Letterkenny Hospital, and Letterkenny Hospital would become, in effect, the new community hospital. In fact, the words I used at that time, the new St. Joseph's Community Hospital. I have seen nothing over the years that changes my mind, and when we look at what's happening, we're very close to it. And all I see is major investment into Sligo, and that is going to be the centre for Donegal patients. And in reality, we've been the poor relation, and even regarding the surgical hub, as I said, the consultants had actually talked about it last November, when the regional executive officer announced it and actually said it was his decision, and said that the grounds were being cleared. And when we met with the minister, and the minister told me, no, it wasn't happening, and I showed her the map where it was, and I actually showed her the statement where the regional executive officer had made the announcement. Now, there is a lot going on, and it's about stripping services from Letterkenny Hospital. And I mean this not to frighten people. The reality is it's been done under our noses. And the amount of documents that I've been sent are a load of nonsense, because the four key projects are for Letterkenny: bed expansion, emergency and urgent care, critical care capacity, ambulatory care block. That's what they have down on a pile of papers that when you read through it, Greg, it's a lot of hot air. Mm. It's like one of the fairy tales that you'd be reading to your way into bedtime.
Well, the difference between your list and my list is mine are projects that are approved or ongoing, and I know you're privy to the same info potentially because it's there on the public record.
Yes.
But what then, right, what then next politically? Because there's only so much we can do. We know all the TDs and senators are privy to this information. We know that the councillors are privy to this information. The councillors are hamstrung. They don't have access to the minister. They can raise concerns at regional health forum meetings. They can pass motions at the council. But we have five TDs, two senators in this county who are privy to this information. I have not seen, since that meeting that took place where all of this was outlined in terms of the surgical hub and the ambulatory service, I haven't seen any reference to this in the Dáil or press releases. So what's going on? What needs to happen from your perspective next? Because you're the campaigner. I'm just sitting in here as a presenter. This is continuing to happen. Is there not a window? Sorry, Betty. Is there not a window between... No, it's my fault. I'm just bloody passionate about this. Is there not a window between the HSC locally signing off on Sligo as a hub and not Donegal, and the government signing off? Like, are the five TDs and two senators making the minister aware that this is potentially happening under her nose? Can she stand up and justify the population argument for locating this hub in Sligo and the rest of the investment in Sligo and the lack of investment in Letterkenny? Betty, I won't interrupt you.
No, Greg, I have to say, I can't understand, because even if we talk about the surgical hub, when I brought it up, we've had nothing since the time the minister was here and I showed that the hub and everything and was public about that. But when I done my research then and discovered that the consultants had actually, in November last year, on their five actions, the surgical hub. Why did we hear nothing about a surgical hub until I produced a map with it marked in and Sligo supported by the statement made by the regional executive officer? How come this is all happening now? This has been going on for years. And yes, the regional forum, and yes, we hear all these things. But why? We need all our politicians in Donegal for once to forget about the politics. Stand together and stand with the people. Mm. Personally, if we don't take action, our hospital is going to be literally a community hospital. The ambulatory care centre is absolutely excellent. I need somebody to tell me the plans are done, the funding has been approved, all the rest of it.
Yeah, but that's years away, Betty.
We've been continually underfunded, Greg, all over the years. We've had the lowest budget.
Okay, all right. You say why now? Why now? Because I believe we've never been as close to... in fact, it's not my words. Just in case anyone thinks it's my words, look at the letter from the consultants. Mm-hmm. Look at the letter from the GPs. They said we were months away from a collapse of services. So it's not me. I'm not... This is consultants who work there. We've never been as close as we have been to seeing a failure. I also know there are great concerns that people's outcomes are being affected by all of this, as we know. Yep. Emma Govey, do you want to come in there? Emma Gova, do you want to come in?
Yeah, well, I just want to say that I agree with Betty myself. Actually, we had a conversation about this very recently, and you know, The reality is that we need our politicians to be going down to Dublin and bringing Donegal to them, not Dublin to Donegal. We need them to be saying that, you know, here, look it, no. And we, you know, we have some very decent people that we've worked with in the past, but we need them to be saying, now, listen, we are not going to stand by and let this happen. And what I would do now is, you know, I would encourage, and I've said this before, and I believe I've said it maybe on your show before, maybe it was somebody else's show, I'm not entirely sure. But I've said what we need now is almost, it's something that Father Bradley said a couple of weeks ago when he was talking about community work. He was talking about the coalition of the willing, that he had heard this term, the coalition of the willing. And that's what we need when it comes to healthcare advocacy. We need the groups who are advocating for neurology services and endocrinology services and cancer services and advocating about the wait times in the ED and all the services that we are lacking, and that we need them to come together now as one big group and say, no.
Yeah, I know where you're saying from, but that, I'm not disputing what you're saying, but that's another thing that needs to be organised, right? And sometimes things like that can be like herding cats. The bottom line, and I mean that with no disrespect, the bottom line is we've got five national politicians who know the story already.
Oh, of course.
Right? So, you know, the people can only be asked to do so much. Down at the hospital.
Betty, you know, I haven't seen anything.
Yeah, but Betty was down there.
I agree with you.
Rosina was there.
Anything?
Oh, just one second.
In the news, no, from them saying,
there is nothing there. Betty was there. Rosina was there. Who else was there? Betty. There was five women, right? Five women standing at the gate there, and that was the entirety.
Yeah, I wasn't there because my daughter was in medical too.
Understood. No, I'm not. My point is, Emma, it's not having to go at anyone. That was it. There was five women. That was the voice of the health service in this county. Those five women who've either lost people because of cancer services, Mary was there as well, I believe. Mary Orr was there, and the lady from the other cancer care group,
Noel wasn't there. Okay. Noel was at the maintenance.
But my point being is that the health minister came up and visited a unusually quiet hospital. Let me put it like that. She came up with the. All right, Betty. Yeah. She came up and stood in the shadows of a 200-bed community hospital, which is fantastic. She came up being told that multiple millions of extra spending have been gone into the hospital. And that's what she left with. And she left with no one at the gates except five powerful women, five pillars. And Emma would have been there, I'm sure, if it wasn't for her own situations. Yeah. And that's what she left with. And the politicians, it seems, decided it wasn't worth turning up. So if I'm the health minister, I'm going away, Betty, and I'm going, well, things are grand. Everything's all right.
Yeah. Because, Greg, that day when we were in at the meeting, I mean, I have to say, first of all, the initial reaction was, you know, to hell with this, because we were being told very clearly we had 15 minutes. And, you know, in reality, for a minister to come to Donegal and say that she would give us 15 minutes was really... It was quite disrespectful to the rest of us, because when I looked at the coverage of the time that she spent in Sligo, I thought, sweet mother of God, maybe we should have been down at Sligo having our meetings about Donegal. You know, there's a major imbalance. And yes, I know, and yes, Noel was at the gate that day when the minister came. But in reality, it's a time. But again, it's about who pulls all this together. Do we need to sit in a room and get all our politicians to come in and discuss? Because all over the years, no disrespect to them, but any time we've organised meetings and asked them all to come, they don't generally sit together. But it's time that we all united and stood together. It's time, because I go back to when we looked for the permanent breast surgeon, we got 15,000 people, Greg, in one of the worst May days. There's a lot of work in pulling all that together. But it's a time that we all stood up together. We need to have a conversation now, and we need to engage the politicians because they have access to tables and conversations that we don't. And it's not that I don't send emails and keep pressure on, but I mean, you know, when you ask for a meeting, an example with the HSE regional executive officer, because clearly his role is to oversee the plan and management and coordination of these services, ensuring they meet both local needs and national standards.
Yeah.
And yet we can't get a meeting. On the fourth attempt, he sends me one saying that the hospital manager is engaging with us and the new integrated healthcare area manager.
Mm-hmm.
They're not engaging with us.
The one thing I would like to know too is, where was Tony Canavan for that meeting with the health minister come up? And did he turn up in Sligo? Because she travelled down Sligo afterwards. I'd be very interested to find
out. Yes, he was in Sligo because I saw the pictures.
Right, okay. So why wasn't he in Donegal? This is one of his hospitals.
Well,
this was
I'm
a major
asking that
visit.
Question too.
Okay, well, me and you seem to be asking a lot of
Tony Canavan is the person that I've emailed four times in a short period of time asking him for an urgent meeting, please. And on Friday evening, I think, I'm doing it from memory, around 4 o'clock or something, I got an email back, and for the first time ever, which is just a small comment, he always called me Betty, but suddenly I'm dear Mrs. Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thank you for your email. I have discussed your concerns with the IHA manager for Donegal, Dermot Monaghan. I am aware that he and the hospital manager, Sean Murphy, are engaging directly with you in this matter. Dermot will be in touch directly with a further update. Please find briefing documents attached for your attention. Regards, Tony Canavan.
Okay. Right. Thanks. Yes, Betty. Listen, I have to move on. Thanks so much for your time.
Listen, thank you for the time, Greg. People of Donegal and politicians of Donegal, please, it is time to stand up to save what's left of Letterkenny University Hospital. It's an excellent hospital. The staff are excellent. We need a hospital in Donegal, not Sligo.
And,
thank you, Greg.
Thanks,
thank
Betty.
You, everybody.
And Emma Gover, in case it's not abundantly clear, this conversation for me, it's often, if not always, driven obviously by patients. That's the critical thing. But it's staff down there being supported in the work they're doing. Us talking about it on the radio, not all staff like it. Some are glad that it's platformed. Others think we're actually compounding the issue. But listen, I take my guidance from people like Betty, yourself, and Mary and Noel and all the, you know what I mean? These are people that know more than I. And also those within the hospital who come out themselves and put out a letter saying that they were stepping over people in the ED like a war zone. They're not my words. And that there was a tipping point, potentially a critical moment coming up for the services at the hospital. Last word to you briefly.
Yeah. And what I would say is, the staff, this is not a reflection of the staff. I've always said that the staff are amazing, and they've dealt, you know, I've many years of dealing with staff having kids with complex medical needs. But the thing is, anytime I have seen, the only thing I want to say, Greg, I just want to make this point, is anytime I've seen the health minister come down for a visit when it's PR and all that, I can honestly tell you I never see A&E the way they see it. And I am consistently telling them to make an unannounced visit. Consistently saying, you know, stop saying that you're coming, and because when you come down, you don't see what we see. You don't see what the staff are putting up with and what the doctors are putting up with and the nurses and the HCAs and all the other support staff. You need to make an unannounced visit to get the reality of what has been faced by the staff and the patients.
All right.
And until the Minister for Health does that, and I've said it was consistent Minister for Health, not just this one, but consistent Minister for Health, this is what needs to happen. And I agree with Betty, the people of Donegal need to come together now, as do the politicians, and we need to stand up now for our hospital, because in a few years, it's going to be a community hospital if we don't start standing up for
it. I'd be worried about it imminent, but I appreciate your time and I respect your view. Thanks, Emma. Emma Gover, we Donegal Mammy, Betty Holmes there. Katrina has a very important story, but I really do have to take a commercial break because otherwise it's just going to be a real problem. So, Katrina, if you want to hold for 4 or 5 minutes, please do, because we want to hear what you have to say too. Katrina, are you still there?
I am, Greg.
I'm sorry for holding you for so long. I just didn't. It's just trying to squeeze everything in. Your experience, Katrina, and it affects your mum, really, but it affects all of us when it affects our family, of course.
Of course. So 2 weeks ago, Greg, My mum has dementia, and my mum is in the care of the Lake House Nursing Home in Dunfanaghy, and we are so thankful that mum is in where she's in. So I got a call from the Lake House 2 weeks ago, and they said that mum was unwell, and I said, that's grand. Other family members were contacted, and they made the decision that mum needed to go to hospital. So this would have been after 12 o'clock in the day. And that was fine. Mum was brought out to hospital by ambulance, and my mum has gallstones, and mammy also has issues with IBS. Mm. My mother has dementia, Greg. She's dementia. So she got seen fairly quickly, thankfully. One of the nurses that was working in the emergency department seen the surname and realised quick enough that she was my mum. I'm living in Inishowen, as you know. I was unable to travel up to Letterkenny to be with mum because I have children. My husband was away doing a course, and I wasn't able to go up. So everybody was keeping everybody updated as to how mum was being and how she was getting on. They done a scan. They really couldn't find anything that was wrong with her. She got the care she needed. But the issue I have, is Greg. At 11 o'clock at night, they decided that my mother should be discharged back to the home. And I was like, 11 o'clock, okay, that's very late. Mum would have been very tired, maybe a wee bit disoriented. And she had to wait to 4 o'clock in the morning for an ambulance to take her back to the home.
Just in relation to her discharge, are you satisfied that whatever treatment she could get for the IBS, but particularly the gallstones, had been done? Or do you believe she could have been kept in for a day or two and treated further? Like, was she discharged in better health?
I don't know. If I wasn't there, Greg, so I can't make that call. But the issue I had is, it's called have a bit of decency. That woman is the age she is. Could she have stayed overnight? Maybe, yeah. Maybe they could have treated her with fluids. Maybe they could have given her something for the pain. I don't know whether they did or they didn't. But my issue is when they discharged her, she had to wait to 4 o'clock in the morning. Mm. And mum was tired. When the paramedics were taking her back to Dunfanaghy, they were so mad that she wasn't kept in. Like, a letter was given to one of my sisters, and the sister didn't give it to the paramedics. So when she arrived back at the Lake House, they had nothing to go on. Mm. They had nothing.
There was another family member also in hospital, and I think you're sort of comparing the treatment both patients received.
Yeah, so on the same day, I was taking my wee boy Ben for a walk, and my sister-in-law rang me, and she says, Katrina, is there any chance you can come up here? Eddie's unwell. This is my brother-in-law. And I says, give me 10 minutes. I will come up. So when I came up, Eddie was unwell. I am first aid trained. I've done security for a long time. I know how to handle a situation. And when I seen Eddie, I was very worried about Eddie. Eddie was a bit blue around the lips. He had chest pain. So I rang Now Doc. Now Doc then transferred me to the ambulance crew. Eddie got amazing care. The first responders down here in Clonmany came and they helped. I didn't have an aspirin to give Eddie. They gave it to him. They kept everything nice and calm. And Eddie was transferred by ambulance to the hospital. Now, they thought Eddie might have been having issues with his heart. Eddie was fine. It was just he had a lung infection or a really bad chest infection. Eddie was kept in. Eddie was kept in for a few days. And Eddie is now back home. And he's great form. He's in good form.
Fair play, yeah.
But the reason why I couldn't go up was because I physically couldn't go up. My children needed me here. My husband was away. And I needed to be here to help my family down here.
But you're suggesting that I think the comparison you're making is that maybe there is more effort put into treating
a younger generation
than the older generation, that you believe that's
a... Yes.
I mean, we're talking about one experience, right? So we can't say this is policy or what have you, but that's the feeling you've walked away with from this situation.
Yeah, and like, I'm just speaking on my behalf. So I have two children. I have Bobby and I have Ben. Bobby was on the waiting list to get his tonsils out from he was 4. Ben was waiting to get his tonsils out from he was 3. We got a letter from Sligo Hospital to go to Letterkenny last September. And it was for Bobby first. But when I was up at that meeting in Letterkenny, in the place behind the grill, I don't know what it's called, I can't remember. But when we got that meeting and I was being chatting to the lady that was doing, I says, listen, my other child is also on the waiting list to have his tonsils taken out. Is there any chance that I could get him seen to too? And she says, Katrina, I don't have the notes, but I will look into it for you. So we I left, and then about, I think it was maybe 2 or 3 days later, I got a letter in the post to say that Ben then was to go up and have the meeting to see whether he needed a tonsillectomy or not. And both children needed a tonsillectomy. We had to travel to Sligo. I have no issue travelling to Sligo, but Ben has autism. Mm. Ben has additional needs. Mm-hmm. This is the problem, Greg. Why are we leaving the county to go somewhere else when we have an amazing hospital there? What is wrong? Where can this be fixed?
Well, that's part of this whole conversation. It's to try and it's try and retain and improve it. You know, that's why.
Yeah, like I would be very good friends with Rosina Toner, who you know is fighting for cancer care. Rosina Toner is a wonderful lady, and she's so right with what she's trying to do. But what is wrong with the healthcare system in Donegal when we have to go so far away?
Well, that's what we're trying to get to. We're trying to get to the bottom of it. All right, Katrina, listen, I'm glad that your brother-in-law, it could have been much worse, and I suppose breathing a sigh of relief, although not insignificant either. And best wishes to your mum and the rest of the family. Katrina, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Greg.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. Take care. A caller says it would be quicker for anyone living from Ballybuffet to Donegal Town to attend the hospital in Sligo than Letterkenny due to traffic. It depends, I suppose, if you're doing it in an emergency situation, but it can be hit and miss too. You can get caught up. You can get caught up in places too. If you're the far side of Ballybuffet, for an example. Another caller says the question that needs to be asked is how do we attract young doctors to Letterkenny? All the services they need to be upgraded before we spend any money. We have no concerts, etc., for them to attend. Well, we said it. I mean, there's lots of there's lots that the Northwest has to offer. I think the locality would be okay if we can sort of work on the working conditions and have more full-time consultants and have higher grade staff there and have it easier to work. I think there's lots of people might sort of think, wow, I can go kayaking around sea stacks on my day off rather than, you know, going to see Britney Spears or something. I'm not contradicting you. I think we've an awful lot to offer, but I think the problem often is the work. The actual work environment and the grades of various staff working in different areas. It's the scale of the problem is such that it's not going to be fixed by tinkering about here or there, that the Minister of Health needs to recognise it as a special case, I think, and throw resources at it.